We need to pray, and more now than ever before. I'll tell you why in a minute. Father in heaven, thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your forgiving spirit. I love you. We want to deliver a message that will be transformative today. Help me be a part of that. In Jesus' name, amen. There are 11 weeks to this service, this series we are calling Redefined. The service that I had prepared for you today, I've actually got both of them prepared, was week 11. So I'm now putting it in reverse, and we're going to do it in the order in which it was written, because when David read, "Ask, seek, knock," I said, that's today. So in other words, I imported the wrong one. So now you've seen behind the curtain. The wizard is flawed. So keep those cards. I hope you didn't throw them away already. Next week you'll learn the mystery of the good food, junk food. So that you want to come back for that. Okay, thank you for your indulgence. I was just talking to Brian before about a nightmare he had about messing up in the tech booth, and I think anybody that has responsibilities, you know, to do something, we've all had that dream where we make stuff up, and I think that's what I just went through, and you witnessed it. You're welcome. You're welcome. But I have a very important question for you to consider this morning. What makes a good relationship with someone? Think of your closest relationships. What types of people have won you over? Have won your heart over these years. Were they selfish or were they unselfish? Did they listen to you or did they not? Did they pay attention to you or ignore you? The answer to those questions is obvious, right? So hold that thought. As we near the ending of the Sermon on the Mount, we're not done. Oh no, we have one more week. I told you that already. We see Jesus repeat a concept for a second time. Of all the things Jesus taught us in this sermon, he repeats himself three times. Two of them were over money and forgiveness. He addressed those issues in two different parts of the sermon. The other is regarding your needs in life and how you pray and how you ask God for help. This series has been called Redefined because the deeper we get into Jesus' teachings, the more we realize how Jesus redefined seemingly everything in life. Everything. Today's no exception, as we will be seeing how he redefines our idea of prayer requests. My hope is that we have a congregation full of people who love to pray. I already prefaced that earlier today. A few weeks ago, we learned how to say and how to pray the Lord's Prayer in a different translation than some of us are used to. Well, just to drive the point home, Jesus nears the end of his sermon by reminding us about our prayer requests once more. So as we think about our prayers, let me ask a very pointed question. If God answered your prayer, would it primarily benefit you? Most of us would reflectively say no, but really think about it. So many of us default toward praying for gain, my family, my job, my wealth, my health, my friends, how my day goes. Now, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with wanting to ask God for help. God wants you to ask for help. God wants to meet your needs. But Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount seems to show how that is a very elementary way to pray and shouldn't be our primary focus. Here's why. Because a self-centered prayer life is like treating God like a vending machine. It's like the 7-year-old boy that a dad was telling me about. He was heading up to bed. He yelled out to his family, "I'm going upstairs to bed to pray. Do any of you want anything? I mean, insert coins here, right?" I want to be very clear on this. If you all do at this point is pray for yourself, that's great. It's great. But I just wanted you to realize that this can turn into a negative very quickly, because your focus so quickly becomes about you and how you feel. It's the teenager who promises to behave if God gives them an A on the exam, or the bargaining type of prayer as the business person who is late for a critical meeting says, "Lord, take pity on me," right? Take pity on me. God, if you open a parking spot for me in front of the store, I'll stop drinking alcohol and go to church every week. Never mind, Lord, I just found a spot, right? So it's a bargaining prayer. Again, the self-centered prayers are at least prayers. And full disclosure, my pattern is to pray for my personal connections much more than not. I'm not saying that that's not what you do. For example, I pray more fervently for each one of you than a person in another church, because you're part of my church family. So I'm the first to admit my selfishness in my prayers. With that in mind, I want to refresh our memories from a few weeks ago when we learned about the Lord's Prayer. We learned that Jesus doesn't want us to be show-offs or over-talkers. I don't even know if that's a phrase, but you know what I'm talking about. And then he said this, "Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him." That's important to realize as we pray, isn't it? God knows what you need before you even ask. So keep that in mind as we turn the page, a chapter to chapter 7, verse 7. Ask in it. So Jesus continued his teaching, then he circled back to this idea of our prayer requests, okay? So this is about prayer requests. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Did you hear that? Just ask. God will give it to you. Why? Because God's good. It's funny the way Jesus teaches it. He called his listeners evil. I didn't mean to gloss over that. Look at all of you. You're evil. And you still do good things for your kids. I guess that's a compliment. How much more does our Heavenly Father bless us? Right? So name it and claim it. These verses have been so misused and abused throughout the centuries. These kinds of prosperity teachings have embarrassed me as a fellow Christian. Just name it and God will give it to you. But that's what it's saying, isn't it? It sure seems to me that we're being invited to pray selfish prayers. God knows what we need, so he can get ready with his same-day delivery trucks, right? He's just waiting for me to ask. That's what we just read. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock on the door, so the treasures will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives." I love this teaching. Sure seems clear. God seems to be okay with us just using him as a vending machine to get whatever we want. Except there's just one problem. Jesus didn't say amen, sermon, prayer over. He said one more thing before shifting to another topic. And what he said next redefines everything about this prayer. Right after Jesus said, "Ask for anything," he said, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." Remember what I said at the beginning of the message about a good relationship? A good relationship is unselfish. A good relationship listens and thinks about the other person. True BFFs put their desires aside and want what's best for you. Furthermore, remember on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer. And it was all the we, not me, right? "Give us our daily bread. Forgive us. Lead us. Deliver us." Me is gone in Jesus' core prayer. It hits at the core of my earlier question, if God answered your prayer, would it only benefit you? At a very base level of prayer, it is the difference between two types of praying. The two types of praying are petition, I need, intercession, he/she needs. Both types of prayers are legitimate. God wants us to ask, wants us to petition him when we are in need. He desires that. But I can't help but ponder why Jesus repeated twice in his sermon that God already knows what we need. Put those in caps. So why tell us to ask? And so, I also can't help but realize the deeper teaching here of God repeating that golden rule of doing unto others as we want them to do unto us. In other words, it seems Jesus is telling us to ask for anything for them, for others. Think of how profound that is. When I realize that God already knows what I need, and then he meets those needs, I can look beyond myself to the people around me and pray for them. And if God is already meeting their needs, and they look around and pray for me, now that's what I call heaven on earth, right? It reminds me of an old folktale story I heard many years ago about this. So you might have heard this. It's not in the Bible, but I love this story. The story goes, this illustrates what Jesus seems to be doing in redefining prayer for us today, okay? It's a story that goes that a man died and went to hell. He was terrified at what he saw there. People were sitting around a table trying to eat from a bowl of soup. But they were failing. They were just skin and bones. They were starving because the spoons they had were too long. So they couldn't get the soup into their mouths. Then, the man was then taken to heaven. He saw the exact same table with the exact same bowls of soup. The people were very healthy. The people were very happy. They were laughing. They were enjoying the food. They all had the exact same spoons. The only difference was in heaven, the people were feeding each other with the spoons. That fable illustrates so much of what Jesus is saying in this sermon. He is saying, pray for one another. I know what you need, so ask for anything as you do unto others as you want them to do to you. In other words, lift each other up. To take this one step further, do you know what Jesus is doing right now in heaven? The scriptures are very clear that the resurrected Christ is doing this very second in heaven. He's not just sitting there receiving praise, though he certainly deserves it. But here's what Romans 8 tells us. Christ Jesus is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. Whoa. Jesus is actually living out this sermon as we speak. He's doing unto us as he's asking us to do for one another. This is why this is so powerful, because when we pray for one another, we are joining in with the very ministry of Jesus Christ. This isn't something you're joining Jesus in this practice. Your prayers help hold us together. You may say, that's too much for me, or I'm not very good at praying for other people. Every time I start praying for other people, my mind starts to wander, and then I start praying for all parts of my life again. Well, let me help you. A real simple technique that has helped me is the five-finger prayer. It may sound simple and silly. I've been able to teach it at vacation Bible schools and youth groups, and it's a simple practice. You may have heard of it before. It's really helped me to be an intercessory prayer warrior. I don't always do it, but when I find myself going to what can Steve talk to God about today, as opposed to what do God and I share in our need to build bigger relationships. So you got five fingers. If you don't have five fingers, I apologize. My grandpa had four, and he always told me he lost it in his pocket, but he actually lost it in the combine. But he would laugh at that joke, too. I mean, it wasn't a joke. He told me. He said, my finger's gone because it's in my pocket. Anyway, so the first one is your thumb. The thumb is closest to you, so it's easy to remember to pray for those closest to you. Who are those? Your friends, your family, the loved ones who come to your heart and mind with ease. You don't have to conjure them up. How about the pointer finger? What does that remind you of? Teachers, leaders, right? Bosses, authority figures that point at you. Pray for them. Pray for our leaders. Pray for your boss. The middle finger. Not going to put that one up. But what does that remind you of? Well, this is when you pray for your enemies. This is where you pray. This is where the real F word comes in handy in prayer, and that's forgivenness. Okay? Well, that was an icy patch we just hit there, wasn't it? I can't tell you how critical that prayer is for your soul, though. You may not believe it, but try it. Walls come down. The quickest way to defeat an enemy is to lift them to Jesus. As forgiveness happens in your heart, love starts to conquer. The ring finger is known as the weakest finger. So then you pray for those who are weak and hurting. Maybe somebody is in the hospital. Maybe somebody that's going through chemotherapy. The weak, the hurting. Just soak in that moment. Pray over them. Then the pinky, furthest away from your body. So who do you think that involves? That's praying for you. It's healthy. It's healthy because it's the last one. You've gone through your other list. You pray for yourself last as you think of all the others first. Doesn't mean you don't pray for yourself, of course. This type of praying is so healthy for your soul. Because it's just so difficult to stay bitter when you pray for other people. It just is. It's so difficult to stay bitter. Lifting people in prayer is joining in the very present ministry of Jesus Christ right this very second. When you pray for others, it takes the focus off of your current worries and really gives you perspective. And allow me to share you one more aspect of this type of prayer. What I'm about to read may sound strange, but I believe in the spiritual realm, it is so deeply true. In Revelation, we see glimpses of heaven and the end of time as we know it during the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's a bit mind-blowing, so let's look how it is described together, shall we? Another angel who had a golden incense burner came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. The smoke of the incense together with the prayers of God's people went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth, and there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. What caused the rumblings? What caused the thunder and the earthquakes? The prayers of all God's people. Every prayer you've ever prayed on behalf of your friends, your enemies, authorities, co-workers are poured out on this planet. You know what that tells me? History belongs to the intercessors. It doesn't belong to the kings, to kingdoms, to empires, to presidents. It belongs to the children of God. All those private prayers, all of those times you wondered if God heard one of your cries. Those prayers will be poured out onto this world. All of them. It may seem like your prayers don't make a dent in this world. Don't believe that lie. Your prayers are needed. And I think those intercessory prayers, I think of those as being interconnected to one another like a net. Can't you just picture in the spiritual world a net falling like an earthquake to the ground as we declare with one voice, Jesus is Lord. So let's bring this all together, shall we? What I'm saying, well, ask for anything for others. I frequently talk with people who have a child who's rebellious or a job that's a mess or something they're trying to fix. As I ask questions, sometimes the person has truly already done everything they possibly could do to fix the situation. Now they just feel trapped. This is where faith truly comes alive. You can pray, but doers like me sometimes feel that's not doing anything. I want to fix it. Well, Jesus, who is currently praying for you, would be offended by those words. He is doing something. Prayer is action. Interceding does bring the earthquake to shake up what is stuck. Having said that, some of you may have been maybe a bit resistant due to some past unanswered prayers or maybe disappointment with God. You've literally prayed for that healing by faith and your loved ones still died. Or you asked God for your help and your life got worse, not better. So your prayers are anything but bold and confident today. If that describes your prayer life in any way, I get it. I understand. I've been there many times. I have countless unanswered prayers. But that is what Jesus is getting at in this teaching. God knows what we need. So just because we haven't seen an answer yet doesn't mean it won't happen in near or even distant future beyond our years on this earth. That may be one of the reasons why Jesus encouraged us to do unto others when it comes to asking. We can help lift one another. We can encourage one another as we intercede for one another. So let's do practice what I'm preaching today. You got your piece of paper, the oft-talked-about piece of paper. And so what I want you to do is write down your prayer request. In other words, ask anything. Write whatever is a burden to you. You can put your name on if you want, or just leave it anonymous. And as we leave today, I'm going to have Ginny and I will come down during the final song and collect those cards. So I'm going to give you a moment to fill those out before we end. Only take one if you write one, okay? And that's what we're going to do. At the end, then you will take one on your way out. I just am excited to have us truly intercede for one another. And I want you to pray for any one of those five things. I don't want you to limit to somebody else. I want you to get the overall, overarching theme of what we're talking about. But if you have a major concern in your life and you need it prayed over, then write it down and we'll put that in the bucket, okay? Let's truly intercede for one another as we pray for one another. So that personal request that maybe you put in the basket, somebody will pray for you, so they're interceding for you. Understand? Does that make sense? We're going to watch God bring the miracle earthquakes of healing around this building and around this body of Christ. So I'm going to give you a moment of silence as you contemplate that and write down something as a prayer request. Does anybody need pens or pencils? I put some of our new pens in the pews this week. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the power of prayer. Thank you for the reminder that your Son is sitting next to you, interceding on our behalf. When we don't see answers right away, Lord, let us be patient. Let us understand that your timing is not our timing, but that you love us and you know what we need before we ask. Thank you for allowing us and reminding us to be unselfish even in our prayer life. We're so blessed to be a part of this church family. We love you. We give you all the praise and glory as we sing your praises to end this service today. In Jesus' name, amen.